a base hit. It's a 1-0.
You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Fly ball deep left center. Grissom
ball on the game run. Over. World Series.
A World Series win. Game over. Series over.
As a teenager growing up in California in the early 1970s, no one expected Dan Quisenberry to become a Major League Baseball pitcher. In fact, Dan was a skinny kid who wasn't even supposed to make the varsity team in high school. On the pitching mound, Quisenberry didn't throw especially hard, and he wasn't all that athletic. But despite these hurdles, Dan Quisenberry would become one of the greatest relief pitchers of the 1980s. I'm Nina Instead, and this is Deadball. Daniel Raymond Quisenberry was born February 7, 1953, in Santa Monica, California. Growing up in California, he loved two things, reading and baseball. His older brother Marty, who Dan described as his best friend, would later recall that if you were looking for Dan, he was either in his room reading or he was on the baseball diamond. And sometimes Dan tried, with varying success, to do both. As a teenager, Dan always brought a book with him to the ballpark. Beyond his love of reading and baseball, Dan was probably best known for his quirky sense of humor. He was always looking for ways to make his teammates laugh. When he became a Major League Baseball star, writers would flock to his locker after an important game because Dan always gave the best quotes. For example, he once told a reporter, "I found a delivery in my flaw." Dan would also claim he never worried about losing his fastball because, well, he didn't have one. Dan's mother, Roberta, and his father, John, who like Dan was known for his sense of humor, they divorced when Dan was 7 years old. After the split, Roberta began working outside the home. When Roberta married, the boys found themselves with a new stepfather, Art Miola, a situation they weren't thrilled with, and the boys acted out, both for their mom and stepfather, and for their babysitters to show their displeasure. You see, Art was not as laid back as the boys' biological father, and this led to parenting and relationship conflicts. The boys thought Art was too strict with them because he expected the boys to follow his rules. Their rebelling against their stepfather helped the boys develop a strong bond. They looked out for each other. And it also helped them develop the use of humor as a defense mechanism. But Art, an engineer with North American Rockwell, well, the boys eventually grew close to him. And he saved them from the ballroom dancing careers Roberta had in mind for her boys. Art introduced them to sports and even managed Dan's youth baseball team. Although the brothers were never on the same team because of the difference in age, they did play a lot of baseball together. Both boys were drawn to pitching, and both showed an aptitude for it. Marty, 2 years Dan's senior, was a better athlete, and he adopted the sidearm pitching style which eventually became what Dan was known for. Marty would go on to play baseball first at Orange Coast Community College, then Southern California College, and he was scouted by the Kansas City Royals. The same Kansas City Royals where Dan would ultimately have the best seasons of his career, including 3 All-Star appearances and a World Series ring. Marty's hopes of a career in baseball ended when he sustained an injury to his throwing arm. Initially, it was suggested that he rest the arm, perhaps ice it and allow the arm to heal. The amount of needed rest went from a few days to a few months and then years. Marty's baseball career was over. Like his older brother, Dan went to Orange Coast Community College, and he was the team MVP his second year, 1973. Ben Hines, the baseball coach at Laverne College, he saw Dan and asked him to enroll, which was fine with Dan because Laverne had an excellent baseball program. Laverne is a private college located 35 miles east of L.A. and only 50 miles from where Dan grew up. Once he was in college, Dan found it hard to decide on a major. He had a curious and agile mind, and several majors appealed to him. Dan majored in business, religion, sociology, psychology, and history. And while he focused on business and liberal arts classes, perhaps the most memorable course he took in college was square dancing. Coach Hines expected all of his pitchers to take square dancing as he thought it would improve their balance and footwork. And it was in the square dancing class that Dan met his future wife, Janie Howard. "Dan was very romantic," said Janie, who was studying to be an elementary school teacher. "His opening line to me was, 'Are you hungry?' And when I said, 'I guess so,' he came back with, 'Well, how about a freebie?'" Before long, the two were inseparable. In college, Dan became a very good pitcher, even though the scouts were more interested in his teammate, John Verhoeven, who went on to pitch for the Twins. In his 2 years at Laverne, Quisenberry was 12-2 and 19-7. His senior year, he pitched a notable 194 innings, and his hard work paid off. His delivery shifted until he came sidearm. And while he had talent, Major League Baseball wasn't exactly knocking his door down. One of his coaches was friends with a scout for the Kansas City Royals. He asked his friend to come check Dan out, and the scout, well, when he watched Dan play, he liked what he saw. The summer of 1975 marked big changes in Dan's life. On Tuesday, July 22nd, he was baptized as a Christian. From that day forward, his faith became an important part of his life and identity. Also in the summer of 1975, the Royals came calling. They couldn't offer Dan much money, but they did offer him something he desperately needed: time. Dan wanted time to figure out exactly what he wanted to do with his life after college. That was also the summer that Dan Quisenberry, known as Quiz, made his first professional appearance. He pitched a complete game, 5-3 victory in the opener of a doubleheader against Wausau. It would be his first and last start as a professional pitcher that season. After moving to the bullpen, Dan did well enough at Waterloo. He had a 2.45 ERA and 4 saves. That was good enough to be called up to Double-A ball in Jacksonville for 8 innings at the end of the season. When the season was over, he and Janie, his college sweetheart, they got married. And after their honeymoon, they settled in Idaho. They took a modest apartment over a funeral home. During the day, Dan worked at a sporting goods store. In the evenings, he worked at the funeral home. He lined up a teaching job for the fall of 1978 at a school where he would teach and be the baseball coach. But his plans would fall through in the best way possible. In spring of 1978, Dan was playing baseball again, pitching AAA for Omaha. He developed a reputation as a relief pitcher, and it now looked as though he might find his way into the major league after all. In July of 78, Kansas City infielder Jerry Terrell went on the disabled list, which meant that the Royals had a spot in their roster. They needed a relief pitcher, and it was Dan Quisenberry who got the call. He was on his way to Kansas City. July 8, 1979, Quisenberry made his major league debut for the Royals against the White Sox. On his second pitch, he induced Lamar Johnson of the White Sox to ground to second baseman Frank White, who started a double play. This was a scene that would be repeated many times over the next few years. And we can't say who in the Royals organization made the call to bring up Quisenberry. Some people say then-manager Whitey Herzog did it. He did have an uncanny ability to spot talent. Others say it was Omaha manager Gordy McKenzie, while others point to the Royals' scouting staff. "The truth of the matter is, we didn't have anybody else," said Royals general manager John Schuerholz. Quiz did fine right from the start, or in his case, from the relief. He won one game and saved another in a 3-game series in Texas on July 22nd and 23rd, and he finished the year with 5 saves, a 3-2 record, and a 3.15 ERA. Except for rare, ineffective breaking balls, he kept throwing sinkers and batters went for them. As weeks passed, he gained confidence as a reliever, but he was worried that he wasn't throwing hard enough to pitch in the majors. By modeling his work after Kent Tekulve, a pitcher with a similar style who was enjoying a successful career in Pittsburgh, Dan learned to get more movement on the ball. And if you look at Q's stats from 1980, today, 40 years later, things are going to look a little weird. In 128 innings with only 37 strikeouts, 129 hits but only 27 walks, other figures are more telling. He entered 41 games where the Royals had the lead, and he won all but two of those games. Q led the league in appearances with 75 and in games finished with 68. He would tie Rich Gossage of the Yankees with the most saves, at 33. Those 33 saves, combined with 12 victories, earned him the title of, quote, Rolaid's Fireman of the Year. This was the first of five awards Quiz earned in the first half of the 1980s. His star was rising. He was named to three All-Star games and found himself a runner-up for the Cy Young Award on two separate occasions. And Dan Quisenberry was hardly the prototypical closing pitcher. Unlike many of his peers, he didn't possess a hard fastball, and thus he had to rely on pinpoint control, guile, and deception. And he augmented this with the submarine delivery he first used in 1980. Dan's primary pitch was a sinking fastball, which caused hitters to hit the ball on the ground rather than up into the air. He also had a curveball in his repertoire, as well as a changeup he developed in 1984, and of course the occasional knuckleball. Quiz was not a strikeout pitcher, but he offset this deficiency by seldom walking batters or throwing wild pitches. His 45 saves in the 1983 season, that was a single-season record for a time. And Dan didn't get easy saves. Unlike today's closers who sometimes throw one or two innings, many of Dan's saves were after two or three full innings of work. In addition to his skills on the field, his wit and sense of humor made him a fan favorite. In 1983, the Royals signed Quisenberry to a lifetime contract, similar to the contract of his teammate, George Brett. This provided Dan and Janie the security they needed to start a family. And I think the highlight of Dan's career was when he led Kansas City to their first World Series title in 1985. He pitched well in the series and was the winning pitcher of Game 6. Game 6 is perhaps best remembered for umpire Don Denkinger's blown call at first base. Dan loved his Kansas City teammates, and the feeling was mutual. Perhaps the one person Dan was closest to was Royals manager Dick Houser. After such a memorable championship season in 1985, the next season things started to fall apart. Dan and his teammates noticed Dick Houser made simple mistakes, such as messing up signals when he changed pitches. Houser would become confused and seem to have a hard time recognizing his players' names. His team was concerned about his well-being, but Houser shrugged it off. Before the All-Star game, Houser reported feeling very ill. He was the manager on the American side in Houston that year, and he finally went to the doctor for a workup because he needed to know what was going on. After extensive testing, Dick Houser was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Physicians tried a variety of treatments to address the tumor, perhaps remove it or control its spread. In June of 1987, Dick Houser, the well-respected manager of the Kansas City Royals, he passed away at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City. He'd enjoyed a celebrated career in baseball, from his American League Rookie of the Year season to a decade spent coaching the New York Yankees and finally taking the Royals to the World Series. Houser's death hit Dan pretty hard. He began to struggle and appeared depressed. He put together solid seasons in 86 and 87, but it was in 1988 that he really began to struggle. He finished the 1988 season with a 5.12 ERA and just one save. Dan's famous control appeared to be lost, and he was no longer able to out the batters like he used to. Even his sense of humor, one of his best-known traits on and off the field, it was failing him. Feeling the struggle within himself, he again turned toward religion and to the Lord for comfort and guidance. It was during the All-Star break in 1988 that the Royals released him and he was picked up by the St. Louis Cardinals, but his performance didn't get better. He spent a season and a half with the Cardinals. They released him at the end of 89. The San Francisco Giants picked him up for the 1990 season. A rotator cuff tear just a few weeks into the 1990 season forced Dan to make a fateful choice. After 12 years in the majors, 37-year-old Dan Quisenberry retired. Without the hectic pace of his pro ball career, Dan focused on his family. He and Janie were the proud parents of two kids. And while Dan missed baseball, he was grateful to have time to spend watching his children grow. Dan also became active with his church. While content with retirement, Dan decided to pursue a writing career. He had always loved writing, and his retirement afforded an opportunity to write full-time. To be honest, he missed playing, so he focused on writing. He started writing poetry, and his work was published in a book called On Days Like This. In 1996, Hall of Fame balloting by the Baseball Writers Association of America, Quisenberry received 18 votes, just under the 24-vote or 5% cutoff to remain on the ballot. As the December holidays approached in 1997, Dan noticed that he was tired. He couldn't focus, and he was frequently nauseous. His wife Janie saw that Dan was becoming confused at times and forgetful. It was out of character for him. Later, looking back, they realized that his symptoms were oddly similar to what Dick Houser had displayed a decade earlier. With the holidays over, an appointment was made with his doctor. Like with Dick Houser, a series of tests were run and Dan was diagnosed with a stage 4 astrocytoma, an exceptionally malignant tumor. His prognosis was not good. Fortunately, Quiz had access to the finest surgeons and specialists, and in addition to radiation and chemotherapy, he underwent 2 surgeries in an attempt to save his life. The treatments were not successful, and the beloved sidearm pitcher known to millions as Quiz died at his home in the early morning hours of September 30th, 1998, in Leawood, Kansas. He was 45 years old. Dan was survived by his wife, Janie, his son, Dan Jr., and daughter, Alicia, who were teenagers at the time of their father's death. Alicia Quisenberry Carter is now active with Head for the Cure, a charitable organization dedicated to finding a cure for brain cancer. Dan Quisenberry was inducted into the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame in July 1998. In 2013, Dan Quisenberry's Hall of Fame candidacy was given a second look by the Hall of Fame Expansion Era Committee, which re-examines the credentials of overlooked players from 1973 to the present. But he fell short of the 12 votes needed from the 16-member panel. I would like to close this episode with a quote from his former teammate, Dennis Leonard. Quote, "He was not only good for the Royals, but good for his family and good for the community. He's got a place in heaven. I know that. Only now, he'll be getting saves for a different starter." The Dead Ball Podcast is written by Tim Scott. This week, Chuck Walters is our technical advisor and sound editor. To learn more about the show, or to talk with like-minded sports fans, join the Dead Ball discussion group on Facebook.